Let's hear the burger.
This is the K-Pop Cast. I'm your DJ Peter Lowe, and in this episode, we talk about comebacks from Baby Monster and Eyelet, TXT, Taemin leaving SM, Gen 5 discussion continues, Lucas' solo debut after scandal disgrace. Hello, everybody. I'm your PD named Michaela, and we really enjoyed our conversation today that went into deep topics, and like, we had a lot of fun. And yo, 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 it's DJ John in the building. We're going to get to some hit replays. And I'm your host, Stephanie. But before we get into those topics, April Fools. I hope you enjoyed me imitating the entire team. That was excruciating. But we're about to jump right in. Okay, don't forget to join the K-Pop Cast listener fam on Slack. Link to the space in the episode description.
And now
all of us are actually
replays.
Here. Yeah. All the real
We're
people
all
are here.
Here. We're all here.
Fear not.
I love that. I feel like I recognize a new version of myself. And like, I'm going to go.
Sorry, Michaela. I ran out of what to say.
I love it, Stephanie. Thank you so much.
See, like, you know, I'll get the tea, the pot stirring stuff. And then Michaela comes in with the... And there's a positive look to all this. Let's take it to the good place. So. And DJ John's just party mode.
Yeah, so. Just the party, always.
And now for hit replays. Replay,
replay, replay. Yo, I'm DJ John. I'm your PD name, Michaela. And I'm your host, Peter Lowe. And I'm Stephanie. And hit replays are our K-pop song recommendations. All right, DJ John, who's... not actually me. Kick it off.
Am I really starting right now?
Yes. April Fools.
You're starting. Yes.
It was April Fools.
Yay. All along.
All
Stephanie
along.
Was not talking to herself.
The entire time.
Totally. We tricked
you.
Or was I? Was this a New Jeans video?
Everyone.
Sorry. DJ John, what is your hit replay?
Baby Monster, Sheesh.
All right. Sheesh. Got them all going. Sheesh. Sheesh.
Well, Baby Monster, also known as Baymon, right?
What?
Really? Yeah, that's how they spell it out in the song.
Wow.
Came, you know, formed by YG Entertainment through Last Evolution Evaluation, my bad, in 2023. Their debut was today. And 29 million views later, they got a hit. Hit replay.
29 million views.
Wow.
That's not too shabby.
I gotta feel like, you know, just like Blackpink and who else under YG? Maybe it's just Blackpink.
Big Bang, 21.
Yeah, but I think it was more Blackpink that they were pumping the numbers a little bit, I want to say. Yeah.
Oh.
You mean Blinks?
I think Click Farms were being bought. Some Click Farms were being bought in order to like reach new worldwide records. They were so popular.
Like
to
initially, BTS, especially like when they were debuting.
Yeah. I see.
Okay, but carry on. Why is it your hit replay? Or is there more you want to share about this artist?
Not really. I mean, they all came through these survival shows, I guess. And they have like a Japanese member or something. I don't really know too much, but because they just came out. But yeah, I don't know. I thought that it was, you know, it smacks. It's good. And I hear what you're saying. It's like, yeah, like we've heard a lot of this from YG, this kind of writing and stuff. And
John's referring to discussion in the Slack about how this is a
yeah, go
very
to the Slack
characteristic,
if you want to see that.
Like Teddy Park YG sound.
Yeah. You know, I think Peter and I can kind of bond on this one. It's like we're DJs, so it's like it's kind of like out of our hands, like how people react to it. And yeah, it's when you go to Taco Bell, there's an old joke. It's like, how would you like your flour and beans arranged? And it's like, yeah, You know what I'm saying? And it's like, it's the same thing. It's like, okay, we need a snare drum, we need a kick drum, and we need certain parts of the song, and people can call that formulae. But hey, if it works, it works. And in this case, I think it worked. And I kind of take my personal, oh, has this been done before? A little bit out of it, because it's just like there's so many new K-pop fans that are coming up, and whenever you DJ, it's like you got to go big, like in different rooms. You feel the crowd out, but it's like you got to play songs that you play. I got to play "Life Is a Highway," party people. You know what I mean? And it works, and people start moving. Yeah, that guy's good. You know what I mean? And so you don't know. So I look at this. It's in the same kind of way where it's just like, all right, it's not that different, but it's working. So. And I'm appreciating the talent and what went into it, you know?
Yeah. And by talent and what went into it, what are you referring to? Are you,
just
are you
mean referring like to the production?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, okay. No, I didn't mean that in a negative sense. I meant like, what are you referring to? Are you referring to
you
like,
have the
dancing
shots,
here, the cinematography? Like what are we talking about?
Let's see. I mean, yeah, the cinematography, I mean, it looks like the do-do-do-do video.
It really does.
Just like from the lighting to the makeup and to the costumes, it looks like a Blackpink video.
Yep.
And the sounds are very similar. The bridge, the pre-chorus, like all that stuff is very similar to Blackpink.
I'm like, okay, but this is Rosé's part. This is Jisoo's part right after.
And it's just like, okay. And the girl, they delivered, they did their thing. The vocals are good. It's all, I don't know. It's fine. I mean, it's like, it didn't really knock me out, but I was just like, this is impressive. Like if you're going to watch this and you were going to show this to somebody that didn't know anything about K-pop, you're like, hey, watch this. They'd be like, whoa.
That's true.
They got a budget, you know?
It's pretty K-pop representative. Yes.
Yeah.
YG.
So. Anyway, and it's new and it's a big record, so
it's clearly
I'm on
hot.
Board. I'm on board.
Yeah, I'm curious what the actual reception is going to be. You know, like if people like
Peter's
their...
not buying the numbers.
But no.
Didn't they have a pre-debut?
Yeah, their song "Batter Up." That's definitely popular. That's a must-play every K-pop gig.
That was fun.
Yeah, especially for the third-party chorus. Like I hate kind of playing the entire song because most time people just kind of stand around for like the first two choruses. But
just cue point it.
Yeah. No, I usually I'll play the second chorus and then go into the bridge and then the third-party chorus when I play it, but. Because people like it for the third-party chorus more than anything. What was I going to say with this? Yeah, this was 2NE3 for sure. Like
2NE3.
like the very first shot, it's like, you know, you can see they were inspired by 2NE1's "Ugly." No, not "Ugly." "It Hurts." That song "It Hurts." You know, the creepy song.
Appa.
Yeah.
Oh, and, okay. Yeah.
Yeah, man, Teddy Park and his like 420 inspired like song composition where it's like that low 808 on the one of every like four beats, I want to say. Like that's what we're hearing, right? And like I am genuinely curious to your point, John, if it's going to be popular or not with the new crowd. And I think you make a fair point that like it's the new generation, but like does this new generation know do-do-do-do?
I'm looking at reaction videos from like the popular people, and they're all loving it. So they all look like and they're all getting 280,000 views, 176,000 views. It's like okay, I think it's going, it's working.
But what is your rookie group hit replay, Peter?
Oh, yeah, sure. Okay, so my group is. What was it? What was it called?
Eyelet.
Wait. I was going to make a funny.
Uh-oh. Oh, okay.
I forgot the joke
Stephanie.
Now. So I was going to say, like, my hit replay is NCT Dream and their song Smoothie because I know Stephanie.
No.
Yeah. Okay.
No.
That's a banger.
My actual hit replay.
Call back to last episode. Yeah.
I heard that.
We've been over this.
I heard that. Wait a second. Okay. Peter, you liked that one, right? Everybody was mad.
Yeah.
Yeah, I liked it too.
What?
Well, yeah.
I am also on Smoothie Team.
Really? I liked it.
It's only me. Stephanie. We don't
like
DJ John said, we don't need new sounds. We don't need
new funky.
Song. I'm making a mockery of us.
What happened? What had happened?
Okay, never mind.
See, no.
But anyway, well, Peter.
Meta point, like, see how, like, the assessment of a song changes by just who's on the episode? Like, you know, it can go to a totally different direction.
Peter was, like, laughed out of the room last time.
Oh. Yeah. But see, I'm here, but we're both DJs. That's the difference.
Mm.
Like, I'm explaining to you guys, like, because you're looking at it from like a consumer, you know, you're looking at it from that point of view.
They're,
and like,
they're looking
we DJ rooms, and it's like, it's a different thing when we're basing it on a lot of reactions, and
totally.
Our job hinges on like whether we play the right record.
Yep.
So
I got you.
We got to take ourselves out of it.
Yeah, but Stephanie is looking at it as an intellectual, as a tastemaker.
It's true.
Know?
No, like, I'm not saying. I'm not saying. But there's other influences. Okay, all right.
Just saying, we wouldn't have Kai's Peaches without food themes. That's different.
Wait, who? Wasn't there another group that had another record called Smoothie that I really liked?
Yeah.
What was that song? It was like Kara or something.
Really?
Hmm. Yeah, there was a Smoothie record. It was really cute.
I vaguely remember
back in the day. Okay, anyway.
Well, you should add it to our lovely Spotify playlist. That
a growing playlist.
Okay. Oh, that was supposed to be my
check
how
it out
you
the
thing.
Slack.
We'll cheat that. Okay. Let's just play that
special
right now.
Special preview. Stay tuned.
No, we'll just do it really quick in passing
here. Back to your hit replay, Peter.
No. Really quick. plug. So following that shiny hate this last episode, we had this breakout discussion in the Slack where people were creating, who was it? It was, whose idea was it? Was it Michael?
Yeah,
Michael said like
K-pop and RPGs. Michael D.
Let's create a innocently what did he call it? Like, you know,
beverage
SM innocent beverage playlist, you know, like what does it mean? It doesn't mean anything. It's just about beverages, like
cream soda, huh?
Right. No, you're the
yogurt
one.
Shake, huh?
Look, if Choco it means something cookie. Different, that says something about how you think about it. It's not how...
I know it when dirty I mind out see the it, man.
Anyway, so check that out, because, Michael and Eric and others have been contributing to that playlist. Okay, so now hit replays. So my hit replay is the new Hype Girl group. Yes, yet another girl group that might be Gen 5?
Uh-oh.
Hide under the desk for that comment. It's the group Ill It, and their song Magnetic. So if you didn't know, and I didn't, iLit is a group by B-Lift Lab, which is a sub-label of HYBE through the JTBC 2023 survival competition show, Are You Next? Those are letters for Are You. And the group is composed of 5 members. Someone help me pronounce these names.
Well, Yuna. I can't see the Hangul, so I can't be sure.
Oh.
But
Yuna, Minju, Mocha,
I'm guessing it's Yuna,
Oni.
Minju, Mocha, Wonyi, and Iroha.
Iroha.
There we go. And the name, I'll It, or it'll be I'll, like I will, hyphen It, was previously introduced during the live broadcast of the final episode of Are You Next, where they said that it represents choosing your own verb to put between I'll and it. Conveying the ability of the members to act and make decisions independently, just like the label told them to do.
Exactly.
Right. Yeah, independently, huh?
Mm.
Right.
Okay.
So that's the group.
What's the song?
Magnetic.
Okay, yeah.
Magnetic. And it's a hit replay for me because of the beat. I didn't even know I saw people like doing covers and stuff of it on like Reels and TikTok and whatnot, not even knowing who the artist was. And I went to find the artist, and that's how I surfaced it today. But what I really like about the beat is, you know, it's a upbeat vibe. It's got these like really delicate piano synths that I guess give it that more girly, delicate aesthetic and vibe. But what I especially like is the moments of silence, or the, what is it, like video game sound effect. I don't even know how to describe the samples that they're using, but it's these moments of like softened silence that they use very deliberately to pause, and they usually use it on the seven of the beat, so right before the one, right before the eight, actually. I don't know. It's just like, it's like a swing, and like you know, if you had like a pendulum swinging, and there's that moment of the pendulum where it like gets to its highest point in the air and it just kind of stops moving. It's that feeling that I kind of get with those breaks in the beat. That's what I really like about
it. The suspended kind of feeling.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's that pause for like a quick selfie or whatever. But I actually,
like in the TikTok.
Yeah, but I actually don't like the music video, because like after I figured out, you know, who created the song, I'm like, oh my God, what am I watching? This is like a bunch of like, you know, young girls. Yeah. I kind of feel uncomfortable watching it, honestly. But the music itself is really good.
Wait, what about the video is bad? I'm looking at it right now.
I don't think there's anything inherently wrong on the surface, but like, I don't know. Maybe it's just the dynamics of me being like a 37-year-old male, like looking at these like middle school girls shaking their butts. It kind of makes me uncomfortable.
I don't think they're really shaking anything. I mean, they're just running around, and then she punches through a wall. I don't know. I don't get that feeling that they're trying to be like sexualizing them or anything. It just,
yeah,
they're just being normal.
I don't think they were trying to.
And they're in a hotel.
Yeah, I don't think they were trying to be that like gratuitous about it, but like I don't know. There's something about the hyper aegyo young girl dynamic that it's just harder to consume as a elder male K-pop fan, at least for me. But like the music again is what I really like. I think like conceptually what they're trying to explain through the music video is like, again, you can do all these things. You can channel telekinesis, break down walls.
Yeah,
and find your missing piece. I don't know.
Well, to me, like, it's giving. Giving is a word now. Like, what do you call it? Moonlight Sunrise and the Pink Panther's Ice Spice record. It's kind of the same kind of arpeggiation going on, and that Negative Space.
Okay.
So it's kind of like that quiet, like toy box sound, but then the Moonlight Sunrise drums. And yes. Also, it's the same chord progression in a different key, but yeah.
Yeah, you nailed it. Yeah.
Wow.
What is that toy box? What did you say?
Toy box arpeggiator? I don't know.
No, but I think that's it. That hits it. That's probably the name of the genre, right? Like, you could probably find a bunch of other stuff like
no,
that.
No, it's Jersey Club, but this was not. This is House.
All right, let's move on. Go ahead.
Because we joked about like not really knowing them, and there have been jokes online about them showing up to events and people thinking they're new.
Oh no!
Yeah.
And with this song, I was very curious how, you know, they being the new young girl, like literally young girl group at under HYBE technically, like how they differentiate from New Jeans, if they do at all. And now that you mentioned that, DJ John, about their sound, like they are hitting different notes than what you would expect from a New Jeans song.
What are those different notes?
Without using the big fancy musicology terms I can't think of right now, I could just think of it as more clubby and dancey.
Yeah, it's house. Mm-hmm. It's four on the floor, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas
house
where
music,
New Jeans, you think of more chill and vibey.
Understated.
Yeah, understated. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, New Jeans, what, DJ John? New Jeans is like 86 or like 156 like beats per minute, usually for like a lot of their songs. It's usually on those two ends of the spectrum.
No, I mean, like that ETA record was 135, and that was pure.
Oh, yeah, but that was like a slower, fast song for them, right?
Okay, I don't know. Yeah, you guys talked about slow and fast last time, and I was thinking about that, and I was like, I don't think it has to do with the tempo. It has more to do with the energy level.
So yeah, it's absolutely higher, low that. Energy. Yeah.
Well, we should have had you on for that. We were lost.
Well, that's what I was trying to articulate. Honestly, I was trying to articulate that it has to do with energy and not necessarily BPM.
Yes,
but
yes.
Yeah, and I was pointing out technically, some songs are faster and slower than others.
That's true. That's true.
I know.
Okay. All right. Let's move on. Stephanie, your hit replay.
All right. So my hit replay comes to us from the K hip hop part of the world. It is Lay One Sesang Tawi or Fuck World featuring BY.
Nice.
Well, we assume that that's what the F stands for. It just says F world.
I saw it written out all the way somewhere.
I just saw some F and then like XXX.
Okay, so officially FXXX. So, Lay One or Ray One is a rapper under Cosm, Cosmic Boys label, who debuted in 2019. He was first spotted on Show Me the Money season 6, but really got noticed in the year 2019 when he came out on season 8, season 9. He like grew his skills and his unique, like entertaining performance style, where he like moves around a lot and uses facial expression and costume. So he kind of caught the judge's eye on the show through his expressive acting and kind of unique use of time with his rap flow. Michaela clued me in that currently his main claim to fame is he's Eungji's work husband. I was like, ooh.
But
you want to share a little about that?
Well, that's really the way I found him, was through Eungji, because you know, I watched her drinking variety show, and he was on one of the episodes, and she goes through the story about how she like publicly confessed her love for him and is like was actively like, hey, I want to date you.
Yeah.
But they mostly just kind of like marketed it as like will they, won't they kind of thing, like the kind of on and off relationship. But they've collaborated on songs that are like really good, and they really match well musically too, which is why he's like her work husband.
And they get pretty cozy in their music videos. I must say, they're always acting like boyfriend girlfriend.
I wish it was a thing. They look so cute together.
I mean, yeah, like that's reminding me of Loco and Hwasa, where everyone was like they're totally together, and then they're not.
No,
it's for the money. But anyways, reasons why this song is a hit replay is because it kind of gives me the same like paradoxical, cheerful, sad, depressed dynamic as songs like Zico's Any Song.
Mm-hmm.
Like some of the lyrics include like, oh, I wish I could take friends out of a vending machine. Or just like expressing loneliness to the point of like wanting to hurt yourself, or even, you know, wanting to take your own life, like living in this society. And so I appreciate when artists keep it real like that. And the music video itself as well is a kind of gripping cinematic representation of these same lyrics and thoughts. And so I thought the music video really pulled me in first, and then the hook caught my attention as well. And then finally, PY's rap, which is just so sharp, so on point all the time, just took it over the edge for me.
PY, as always.
Yep.
The violence in that video is crazy.
There's some kind of warning, I think.
Oh, yeah.
So be prepared.
Yeah, Anti-Fragile, don't watch this one.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They were mentioning in the Slack how they wanted like recommendations for K-dramas that weren't violent. Like, this is not that music video. Just listen to the song.
This is pretty violent. I mean, it's basically the story of one man who after...
But it explained a lot of stuff, though, with that previous music video for New Zealand.
Yes.
Where you kind of like see these people who are maybe dead, and then you realize, oh, okay. So
he killed them.
Yeah.
Like, with blunt force trauma.
Mm-hmm.
Great. Mm-hmm.
So yeah, if you're into darkness, but darkness with a
darkness
like, chill,
and a major
happy beat.
Key.
Yeah.
It's like a dark K drama.
All right. We moving on to the last hit replay.
Yeah,
Michaela,
wrapping it up.
It's you.
The last solo song of the week, my hit replay, is Kim Namju's first solo comeback after like almost 3 years. It's Kim Namju Bad. Tell me how you feel that, baby. Don't know much you can add it, mate. So bad, yeah, yeah. Say bad, yeah, yeah. 가슴이 너 소음도 못 돼. 이런 나를 두고 아마 너 say that. So bad. For people who don't know her, which is really sad because she's amazing. She is originally a member of A-Pink, so she debuted with them back in 2011. She is A-Pink's lead vocalist, lead dancer, lead rapper. She's like the true center of the group. She has like an all-rounder kind of talent. So when she debuted with her solo back in 2020, I was like really excited to see what she came out with her song. And she debuted with the single Bird, and to be honest, I was really, really disappointed with what I saw. Like it didn't catch me, and it felt, I didn't see any of her color. I didn't really see any like really creativity with what she did. It just felt like she was, you know, really just trying something to kind of see how it worked. But with Bad, oh my gosh, I was so excited because one, you know, she had mentioned that after she had released her single Bird, that she was kind of like figuring out how she wanted to express her own like solo self, and specifically her own sexiness, and like how she set her color apart from A-Pink's color. And she mentioned specifically that she was like looking at Hyuna for inspiration. Oh. And so if you like, you look at her styling and you look at the concept of the music video, I think you really see that influence from Hyuna, like specifically Hyuna when she's in her like sickly Victorian child era, like her, she's very like washed out. She's got like blonde eyebrows, blonde hair, like her makeup is very like pink and red around the eyes, and she's got very like weird expressive quirky gestures and things like that, which is really exciting to see from her, because again, that's really not something you would expect from A-Pink. Like it's a very different color from A-Pink, so it feels that's like true. She's getting closer to what she's expressing as her solo after like almost 13 years in the industry. She's like only 29. Mm-hmm. So it was like all around just like really exciting comeback. And the sound kind of reminded me of K-pop in like 2015 to 2017, where you had these divas like belting over saxophone beats, but a little bit more.
Oh my God, that was everywhere.
Yeah. But like, you know, you think of like Honeybee or that one. Oh, that was the one, Girls' Day song. I'll Be Yours, like those are examples of that kind of sound. But this one is a little bit more understated. It's not like, you know, saxophone in your face. It's there, but it's in the background, and you really get to hear her vocal, which, again, she's A-Pink's all-rounder. She has an amazing voice. And that's it. Yeah, that's all I have to say. Like, I'm just so excited to see more. I hope we get to see more. I hope this does really well. That's really why it's my hit replay from this week. It came out a while ago, but I wanted to talk about it here because, again, she's a member of A-Pink. She's been in the industry for 13 years.
Yeah. Wait, so she's still a member of A-Pink? You didn't like leave or anything?
No. She's still a member.
Oh, okay.
But this is just her first solo after a while.
Nice.
I think that the song means more taking into account the A-Pink context. Just looking at the A-Pink discography and that history, I really like it. This is like A-Pink comes back from the military.
Oh wow!
Yeah,
I love that. Yeah, no, that's a perfect description.
That's true. Yeah, that's the right age, around 30.
I think she carves her own visual identity separate from Hyuna, though. Like, I mean, I get what you're saying. Yeah, like, you know, she took inspiration.
More punk rock. She got the ripped, a little more punk leggings and, you know, the belly coming out and all that.
So. I see what you mean about the makeup and the hair look.
Yeah,
though.
she's very washed out. It was a little surprising because like most, I'm used to, or at least my aesthetic that I love for her is when she has her like dark hair and more like
remember that
features.
Video Goblin?
Oh, by Sully?
Yeah.
Yes.
It kind of, it reminds me of that a little bit. That's the look. Because that Midsommar kind of look.
Mm-hmm. I'm ready for that makeup look to be over. Personally.
What, it's a little too like Manic Pixie Dream Girl sort of thing? Or
yeah, it doesn't look like real or human to me. Yeah.
Yeah, I kind of agree with you. I'm not like, while it's cool to see her try it, like I said, it's not necessarily like my what I like to see on her. But again, I'm here for her being able to try new things, and especially when they sound good.
Yeah. I'm here for her like getting a shot to continue her career at this age as a female soloist.
Yeah.
There's not that many out there doing it.
One of the very few second gen girls out there.
She has a bunch of different looks in this video, actually.
Yeah.
That's one of them. But then, like, there's a section in here, kind of in the bridge of it, where she's just wearing diamonds and she's all glitzy. So, I don't know. It's cool.
I wonder if we're going to see something like this from one of the members of Weekly. Like, you know, can we see a member of Weekly do a solo breakout like this? Like, you know, how much are those label mates, like, taking notes and carrying the archetype down?
Like specifically like the Hyuna influence or like what or
like, well, you know, Weekly is so much of like school after school, we graduated. Youthful.
Yeah, what now?
Well, yeah. So like what would be after that, right? Like I'm in my 20s. I'm a working professional. What is the Weekly solo member concept translate to? Using A Pink by analogy.
And which member from Weekly is going to do it?
Well, Monday is my bias. I love Monday. So
Monday. All right.
Yeah. Okay. Let's move on. Great hit replay is all. We did it. Good job. Ooh. Okay. So nice. Kpopdances.com. Every week we give you the top 10. Of what's trending in K-pop dance covers, so you know what's popular. So, number 10, we got Fifi's Maniac, the butt dance. Number 9, we've got TWS Plot Twist. That one's still up there. Number 8, we got G-Idle Super Lady. Number 7, Baby Monster Batter Up. That's what we were talking about earlier, John. So that one's still popular. Number 6, we got Itji, Untouchable. Number 5, La Seraphim, Perfect Night. That's still a great song. New entry on the chart at number 4. Can you all guess what it is?
The first time on the chart and it's number 4?
Yep.
V?
No, but I'll give you another.
Chung covers.
Chung Ha?
I don't know.
It's not Chung Ha. It was a hit replay.
Oh, shit.
Oh, was it yours? Islet?
Yeah, Islet Magnetic.
Oh, snap. Coming
in at number 4.
Whoa. Ooh.
Yeah, it's popping off on short media platforms right now. So, yeah, it's really popular. Number 3, we've got Aespa Drama. I don't know. John, does that song pop off?
Drama.
In your area?
Well, I mean, I don't play it. I can't wait to get out there.
Okay, I can't play
it here. I'm in Maine. Like, people look at me and they go,
sorry.
Can you play... you know, Sweet Home Alabama, sir. And I'm like,
Okay, I'm sorry. Because, I don't know, only the dancers seem to, like, K-pop cover dancers.
You have your K-pop
like
show,
it.
Though, John.
I do that sometimes, but, like, you know, 3 people come. I can't wait to get out there, is what I got to say.
Yes.
Can't wait to be there. But, yeah, that...
Okay.
Actually, I wanted to say something about what was it, Young Posse last time?
And we'll get to that.
Piled on. Okay, we'll get to it.
We do.
You we'll get to that.
I love that we can make that your hot issue. Called in reinforcements.
Yeah.
Right. Well, anyway, okay. So, number 2, I think you already know the answer, Stephanie. Call it.
Oh, is it Sumata?
Yep, the Seraphim. And number 1, Stephanie, you know what it is.
Easy.
That's right. So Easy at 103 dance covers this week. Smart at 96 dance covers this week. And then a sharp drop to Aespa at Drama at 49.
Yeah, it'll be a while before they're dethroned, it looks like.
Really? That's an old one.
They're really setting the trend, I think, for maybe like the next 2 years.
Oh, man.
And Fraggle Rock. There's like... I'm trying to get better at doing the K-pop dance movements from like behind the DJ booth. And like Easy, I can do the walk. you know, that nice. That part I can do.
I'd love to see that. Yo.
Yeah. So I'll do that at the next gig.
Put that on Instagram.
Well, I don't think anyone wants to see it.
I want to see it. What do you
give the people?
Everybody
what they
wants
want.
To see it.
No, I'm
let
just going to make that judgment for you. You do not want to see my K-pop dance moves.
I think
they're
now
horrible.
Everybody wants to see it. You built it up for yourself, so now
no,
you have to do it.
I was trying to do the opposite of that. I was trying to let you all down because you know it's going to be so bad. Okay. All right. Hot issue, how you think? Michaela, kick us off. What's your thing?
Guys, okay, hold on. Let me collect myself because I'm still in my feelings about this hot,
yeah.
hot issue,
oh,
guys.
Wow. Okay.
So Beyonce knows Carter. She has released the part two of her album Saga, Cowboy Carter. I haven't listened to the album because for some reason a lot of people in K-pop decided to release full albums this week and I wanted to give them a chance on my playlist.
Oh.
So I'm choosing not to hold off on listening to that album because it'll probably be in rotation for maybe a month. We'll see. Mm. Anyway, she, for like her first promotion for this album, decided to do a fan sign in Japan, which surprised a lot of us, especially
yeah.
the all of the Beyonce fans in Korea at the time, specifically Kevin and Sergi of Red Velvet, who we know are very like known Beyhive representatives in the K-pop verse, were unfortunately promoting and could not go. But you know, obviously, all of the Japanese Beyhive were able to attend, and it was. I'm still trying to process the fact that in 2024, Beyonce is doing a fan sign event in Japan as her first kind of fan event, like something like that, probably in like almost over a decade.
Oh, wow. And, really?
Yeah.
She's awesome.
Ah, okay. That's what I was missing.
And like,
so
what,
that's huge.
I know, just like I'm like my tinfoil hatting of like, is it because she wants to reconnect with the Asian market? Like she didn't really have any stops during her first round of the tour. Like,
can I answer that?
Yeah,
she cares. She cares about her career. She's the real deal. She's a caring person. She likes to do that. She likes to connect with people. That's why she's doing this. So that's why she did that.
You know that because you spoke with her personally, because you got the inside scoop.
Do I need to tell you how I know this? You just trust
me. Well, no, I don't. Sorry, that was kind of a joke, but you've got your inside sources. It sounds like, right? Like,
yeah, like I said, I'm still processing. One, there's like obviously jealousy, the fact that I couldn't get on a plane and go to this event, but I don't know. I'm excited to see it. And I wonder, like I said, if she is trying to reconnect, especially with her fans in the Asian market, what this could mean for future music endeavors for her. And that's it. That's my hot issue.
And you're connecting that to K-pop because?
I don't know. I she's performed and she's had tour stops in Korea before, like years ago. It's been a while since she's performed there. And I feel like we, again, like if she goes to Korea or is reconnecting with that market in Asia, that there are a bunch of artists that I would love specifically to see her collaborating with. I know CL already modeled for her Ivy Park brand a few years ago. That would be an amazing collaboration if it ever happened. But like, we're in this new phase of Beyonce's career where she's collaborating with people that we never would have expected her to, and so now I'm like, okay, anything could happen.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
I would like a manifesting like a country Western K-pop song with Beyonce and a K-pop idol. That would be really
Yeehaw
fun.
Yeehaw agenda has been seen in K-pop. Maybe not this year so much.
It would have to be like a band, I think.
She could do a trot album.
Oh, a trot would be really fun.
Oh, she would kill it.
Beyonce trot. That'd
trot
be
Carter.
Really different.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That would be amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Peter, what is your hot issue for this
week? All right, so mine's going to sound a little contrived, but I'd like to introduce a bill that was passed in Tennessee. Tennessee's Elvis Act aka ensuring likeness, voice, and image security, aka Elvis Act, which explicitly includes a person's voice as a protected property right for the first time, with the voice being defined broadly to include both an individual's actual voice and a simulation of the individual's voice. So I think, you know, part of the reason why, you know, Tennessee, you think of like, you know, those Nashville stars, and, you know, they've got an industry that they want to protect from this new confangled AI technology. But I think that also from the label perspective, labels want to cash in because, you know, like you can potentially create a whole new business model around licensing the likeness of your voice out for a lot of different things. And we've already seen this today. We talk all the time. Like I would love to hear a male AI cover of Magnetic. Right. Like, you know, could what, like, you know, Alexa, like, you know, create a TXT version of Magnetic, and like, you know,
or the Blackpink cover of Sheesh, or the 2NE1 cover of Sheesh.
Exactly. Right. All those things. Although I think it's even more fun when it's like totally like non-congruent artists together.
Right. But right.
Anyway. So this has huge implications for the K-pop industry. I think it'd be really fun, like, you know, imagine a world where you could say, like, hey, generative music making AI model, make a song that sounds like Teddy Park produced it using IU or something. Or like, hey, I want a wake up song in the style of Baby Monster singing covers of, like, you know, Singing in the Rain, the musical. Or... you know, Alexa, make a song that sounds like JYP singing a 30-second intro about things that you're daybach or not on the K-pop cast in the style of a Teddy Park song. You know, like these are the possibilities. Like, we have the technology, and along with that technology, we have the policy coming into place, like seen by Tennessee's Elvis Act. So I just think it's a really interesting world and time we live in, and I wonder what labels are going to do in terms of like policy decisions in Korea and the US more broadly speaking, but we're already seeing this technology creep everywhere.
I'd like to see how they are going to define it. Like, yeah. Okay.
Well, it passed in the what is it? The Tennessee legislature. So it's an actual law in Tennessee.
No, I understand that, but just saying what constitutes someone's voice, like their likeness, what does that mean? Like, you can sing like Elvis or talk like him, but like, so do other people. And then how do you exactly say, well, you did this thing when you did this, and therefore that's an infringement on someone's character? It's like, no, I do that normally.
Well, so I think you'd have to look at the bill text itself, the law. So there's probably some precedent set there in terms of how they're choosing to define these things. But if I had to hazard a guess, it's like, if you're training an AI model off of that person's voice, then obviously you're copying that person's voice because you're using the AI model. You're fine-tuning your AI model for that person's voice.
I guess so. I feel like there would be so many easy ways around that,
yeah,
though.
Yeah.
Just get somebody to imitate that and say, no, I was copying Peter. He was just doing an impression of somebody else.
Like, simulate using like 90% G-Dragon's voice and 10% somebody else's voice. So there's something that's a little bit different. But everybody, when they hear it, they can't hear it. So I come from the YouTube employee, former YouTube employee perspective, and we had the content ID technology, which is fingerprinting. Mm-hmm. Like scanning a video or a song is using it as a reference file to go out and scan for pirated copies. There's so many ways to get around content ID, even though it's the most like advanced fingerprinting software out there, super widespread. Mm-hmm. There's still copies because people can find ways to combine the reference content with something else in the frame.
And also there's interpretation. If you're going to go like try to convince a jury, some people hire a musicologist and some don't, and some win cases and some lose. but just because of whatever the jury's interpretation of it is. So if some jury members are like, that doesn't sound like Elvis to me or something, they could just be like, nope. But what if you get a different jury that are like, oh yeah, that sounds exactly like Elvis. It's just kind of like, you know, I don't know. Like, I just don't know how they would not legislate it, but like enforce it. Mm-hmm. Or if, like,
yeah,
somebody,
enforcement is key.
Yeah. But that's interesting.
They're gonna try.
I mean, like a meta point here, but I want to say like almost all generative AI is just like founded on this notion of like distributed plagiarism. you're just creating like small snippets, like the example you use, Stephanie, mm-hmm. like 10% another artist, 90% G-Dragon. Mm-hmm. And you scale that across like, you know, millions of people. It's like, well, it's, you know, 0.1% of this group.
I guess,
but
I would like to read
for
the
a
law.
Little bit from all of them, you know?
I just want to see what the letter of the law, because it's like, I know what sampling laws are. I know what copyright laws are in terms of like musical copyright. It's supposed to be based on the sheet music. But even then, like I was saying before, it's not, because what's his face? Pharrell and Robin Thicke lost their case to Marvin Gaye's estate because they didn't hire a music out. Stevie Wonder told him to hire one and he didn't. And that was a mistake. And then Ed Sheeran won his by bringing in like 100 different songs that sound like that same song or whatever, and say, why are you picking on me? And he brought in a musicologist and explained it all to the jury, but they explained it better. And so he won his case and the other people lost, you know? And that's just with sheet music and copyright infringement. And this is like, I don't know. I would just like want to see what the wording is.
Mm-hmm. Well, stay tuned. As right, the law that's, evolves.
That's really it until we start seeing it applied anywhere.
Yeah. All right. Moving on to Daybok or not. So we'll say a thing and you say if you're Daybok or not on that thing. All right. Oh, wait. Stephanie, John, you guys didn't have anything?
Oh, no.
All right.
I had one.
Oh. Okay, go ahead, John.
I'm sorry, I forgot to say it, and we don't even have to talk about it, but I thought that Espa doing Fraggle Rock was hilarious and weird.
Yeah, Espa and Apple
that was really weird.
Some sort of contract or something, right? Like, cause
I don't know what's going on, but it was the strangest thing I've ever seen, and it was kind of cool, and I was just weirded out by it.
I mean, I don't look at it any different than, you know, 50-50 doing a song for the Barbie movie. Like, it's just, you know, K-pop. I don't know.
I just thought it was very strange. Just watching it, I was like, what is going on? And I was like, this is kind of cool. But with the Barbie movie, it made a little bit better sense, because it's like the music style fits a little bit more. Fraggle Rock and Espa, I was just like, huh? Who did what? How did this happen?
I mean, I liked it when Cake did Mana Mana, right? Like, you know? Like, I don't think we need to be weirded out by, like, K-pop idols doing childhood
kid classics. Not necessarily in a bad way, just in a bewildered way. I was like, huh?
What I expect is girls to collide.
Would you have picked a different group then to do Fraggle Rock?
I just thought it was weird. But, I mean, I'm not saying anything negative about it. I was like, huh?
And that's why, you know, it's really fun to take generative AI models and asking them to do these like mashups between, like, you know.
There you go. Bring it back.
Like Blackpink, do Beyonce's, you know, country western album. I don't know.
Have you seen that? Speaking of Beyonce, have you seen that YouTuber, I Ruined It, where he took the Beyonce country song, but he like did it to like a bluegrass country song and like had her sing Single Ladies to it. It was really funny. And at the end of all his videos, it says, "There, I ruined it." It's pretty funny. I'll link you guys.
I don't think you ruined it. I think
it sounds pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. That sounds like a great idea.
Peter, I'll send it to you. You'll laugh.
Put it in the Slack.
I'll put it in the Slack.
Share it with everyone. Yeah, that sounds great. Okay, moving on to Daybok or not. Oh, by the way, Espa Tetris song. That one was really good too. Okay, so Daybok or not, you can say whether you're Daybok or not on that thing, however you choose to interpret it. So you guys, Daybok or not, Lucas's Renegade.
I'm Daybok, honestly.
Me too. I'm with Stephanie. Yeah.
It's a F you to the haters. It directly addresses the elephant in the room about his situation, about how he was canceled, and how he's basically like, I don't give a fuck. And so that's just, I don't know if we've seen a label like be that on the nose with welcoming back someone who's been canceled and like throwing it back in the face. Have we seen that?
Especially from like a label like SM.
Yeah, SM well,
yeah,
is so
from a bigger
up.
Label. Because I think of like Woojin when he had his first comeback after leaving Stray Kids.
Sure.
They didn't really do it in the comeback specifically, but they had that whole like they call it a documentary before talking about like the haters and not holding him back or whatever.
Okay, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, where in Lucas's documentary, that one was a little bit more subdued. He came in a little bit more humble. But in this song,
necessary.
he's not.
No, he's no. We all know he's not. We know he's so cocky. Mm-hmm. That's what we like about him. This is his character. It fits him so well.
It's a good song.
So y'all, Daebak?
It's fun.
Daebak?
Yeah, Daebak.
Especially the Plan B, the dance version.
Oh, I'll have to check that out. Okay. I'm Daebak for all the reasons you guys described. Okay. Are you Daebak or not on He's Your Hope? He's My Hope. It's J Hope. Neuron. His song Neuron. Featuring
Gecko from Dynamic Duo and Yunmi Rae.
Oh, yeah.
What? Hip hop legends in the building.
This was a second. Daebak, the second I saw Gecko and Yunmi Rae. Like,
right.
If I knew Tasha was going to be on it,
right.
Okay. J-Hope doesn't even have to try that hard, to be honest.
On The Voice, you just like press the button the minute they start. Yeah, Daebak.
Yeah, I'm Daebak with anything featuring Yunmi Rae, so.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, me too.
Okay, I'll Daebak. Universal Daebak. We need to give like a new score for like Universal Daebak, where like everyone gives it Daebak.
All kill
Daebak.
All kill Daebak. Okay, there we go. Mm-hmm. All right, you heard it here first. Thanks, Jesus. All right. Are you guys Daebak or not on Changha? I'm Ready extended performance video.
Yeah.
Hella Daebak. Like, this is what I was waiting for. I was kind of underwhelmed with Eeny Meeny.
Yeah.
And then I saw this. I was like, all right, our girl's back.
Well, this song was out on her, what do you call it, EP?
It was.
Yeah, it was a bit of a
pre-release. Dance, the performance.
Yeah. Mikhail?
Wait, y'all didn't like Eeny Meeny.
I liked Eeny Meeny.
Oh, you did?
So for me, this was just having this with Eeny Meeny was perfect because one, it's, you know, we get a little bit of her trying her new more vision sound. Mm. But then you also have her core, her root of like what she does best.
Mm. That's true.
Yeah. And what Changha does best is like sexually explicit, adult themed, LGBTQ voguing, gay-gen friendly.
How is it sexually explicit? What does she do that's sexually explicit?
I guess maybe not this song.
Yeah, not too explicit.
I was like, huh?
I think, what was I thinking
it
of?
It is sexy.
Yeah, you're sexy.
Thinking about...
I was thinking of Dream of You.
Dream of You.
Yeah.
Ow.
Or her song Bicycle was even kind of...
Bicycle, yes.
You know.
True, true.
Nudge, nudge, wink, wink with some of those lyrics. But anyway, so, okay.
She's such an impressive dancer.
I know, right?
Wow.
And like some of her other comebacks just didn't capitalize on that. And
yes.
Like and the style of dancing that she's doing, it's just really LGBTQ, gay-gen friendly. Like
literally her dancers are members of an officially debuted dance group of gay men that are out.
Really?
And proud.
What's their name? Mm.
I cannot read right now.
Hold okay, on we'll second. Put it in the Slack. That's so dope.
Yeah, but like you recognize fake faces like Kinky from the group Otte, who performed on Street Man Fighter. And again, they were the ones bringing the Vogue, the femme vibe to that whole very masculine show.
Love it. Okay, so we're all kill Daebak on Changha?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Are you Daebak or not on Hey, Brave Brothers? what else do they do? It's Brave Sound. Drop it. With their new girl group, Candy Shop, Good Girl. Their song, Good Girl.
It's a nut. Because, but I was also, I don't think this group knows what generation they're in, because the music video screams like it wants to be ITZY's ICY, but the song is like, it looks like they shot the music video and decided to change the song last minute, to be honest.
And she's not DJing in the video, all right?
Oh, yeah, I was waiting for it. Yeah, see, what is she using there? It's one of the all-in-one Pioneer systems. It's the X. I'm trying to get a look at it here.
Oh, yeah, yeah. It's the XRT or whatever it's called.
Yeah. But that was never the point, John. Like, going back to, like, Orange Caramel, like, Bangkok City or GD Taeyong, Good Boy. Like, every time, like, a DJ prop is introduced, like, it's, yeah.
They're not on the cuts anyway.
Yeah.
I'm not really Daebak on it. I mean, it's like XG Lite to me.
Yep. With the visual effects, yeah.
Well, totally. Just XG Kids, like Kids Bop XG.
XG for kids.
I don't know. I mean, like, I'm not trying to hate, because people like it, and it's like, that's great. But I don't know. I'm not 8.
I just feel bad for the amount of money they spent on it. Like, Brave Brothers could have produced a better bop.
It's a 3.2 million 5 days ago, so give it a second. And that's not bad. That's not shabby.
Yeah, but are we seeing it on kpopdances.com? You know?
I don't know. Are we?
Well,
I didn't do my research.
Check back in next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. By the way, Changhai Eeny Meeny, that got 9 covers last week. I was just checking the charts here, see if it was on there, but it's not on the charts.
Was fresh.
See? People like that song.
Enough for 9 groups to cover it. So.
I mean, I think it's another one of those How Would You Like Your Flour and Beans arranged songs. So it's like, you know, it's got the bass line and it's got like, you know, typical stuff in it, but I don't know. I thought it was funky, but we're not talking about that this week.
Eeny Meeny, yeah. Okay, yeah. But so, okay. Daebak and Rat, Good Girl, Candy Shop. Candy Shop, Good Girl.
Did everybody say not?
I said not.
What do you call it?
All Kill.
All Kill, not.
Yeah. All Kill, yeah, what's not. All Kill, not. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's slightly not. It's almost Daebak, but yeah.
I mean, they spent a lot of money, to be sure.
Mm-hmm.
I guess I'm just not on the song, though. Like, Brave Brothers, you don't have a lot of money, man. Like, spend your money wisely. This is not it. So, okay. Are you Daebak or not on Tan, Supersonic? Michaela, take us away.
Well, of course it's Daebak. Do you even have to ask me that question, Peter? It's TAN. It's TAN. It's like, it's one, my representative group of my town, my hometown, because they're the only K-pop group that performed here. So I was going to like it either way. But the song is actually like really good. And, you know, Joe pointed out that this is probably one of the last songs that Shin Se-dong Tiger had a part in producing. So there's a bit of a, you know, it gets to my heart when I listen to it. And it, even though it's like, again, it's a good song by itself to me. I think it's Daebak all around.
I agree. Got the Daebak drums. Got those dubstep drums.
Mm-mm.
But it's not, it's just the snare. Plus the name. I mean, did they get that from Mr. Taxi? What's the song? Hypertonic. Who says that?
Is that Mr. Taxi? Taxi.
Is that from Mr. Taxi?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is.
Is that what they got it from?
Yeah.
Cool.
Or Hypertonic? I don't know where Hypertonic.
Supersonic. The etymology and they say Hypertonic in that joint.
Yeah, they do.
That's where Tan got it from. That's where Tan got it. They should have sampled it and thrown it in there. That's what, Peter, that's what you got to do.
Wordplay, like
do the wordplay on that,
and when they say hypertonic, and then drop it.
What are the lyrics to Boa Energetic? Remember that song?
Oh, that also has hypertonic in it. Yeah. Boom. But did that come out before or after Mr. Taxi?
I'll look it up.
Having
a higher osmotic pressure than a particular fluid, especially typically a body fluid or intracellular fluid.
Like, biology students everywhere are just like rolling their eyes.
That's what it says. That's what it says right there.
They're like, what are you guys doing?
That's what it says. That's what that means.
That's the actual word. Yeah.
Mr. Taxi 2011. Boa Energetic 2009.
Oh, wow.
Okay. Yeah, Boa. So, of course, the Queen had it first.
Of course.
All right. Yeah. I. By the way, I'm not on Hypertonic. I don't know.
No,
it just isn't.
That's okay.
I like Speaking how they filmed in the higher frame rate. We need to normalize like filming music videos in like 60 hertz or more.
Oh yeah, that is one thing. Like every shot looks beautiful. The editing on the music video was still kind of eh, but like again, they look great.
Also, I really like their costuming. I like all these models that they have and that they do this like flash cut series in the front. Like I really like.
Yeah, and I'm excited for the next comeback because it's totally going to happen, and this is totally not their last album.
Okay, are you guys Tibok or not on the Queen and her song Emptiness? But which Queen, Peter? How many Queens can you have at one time in K-pop? In this case, it's like Barbie. Everyone is Barbie. Everyone is a Queen who you want to be a Queen. So we're referring to Boa and her song Emptiness.
Mm-hmm. This is where I say like the smarter trend is going to continue on for a year because Boa has it in her song.
Yeah, it's unfortunate that this came out after Smart.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's like, yeah, doesn't have the same impact.
What part are we referencing that's like Smart?
Da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da.
Melodically?
Yeah.
Oh, and the underlying beat.
The piano?
Yeah, the amapiano beat. It's like pretty similar tempo to Smart, I think. I don't know. Y'all tell me.
Yeah, I was very underwhelmed by it. I mean, I love Boa, but to be honest, it's not. Like if I'm looking for this genre in K-pop, I'll go to Smarter.
Oh yeah.
Or at least right now.
It's just a copy.
Yeah.
And like this is not going to be the last. I think we're going to see a wave of these copies of like Tyla's Water. It's just going to like infect all the labels.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, it's pop music, so what are you gonna do?
I'm pro butt shaking. Yeah, like that I can live with. But like, I don't know. Like the musically, the song "Emptiness" like, it's forgettable. So unfortunately, not. Mm-hmm. I like her dancing though. Okay,
yeah, but it is great. Dancing is great to see her, you know, out doing her solo thing and not like behind the scenes producing like NCT Wish.
Oh yeah,
it feels like that's kind of like been the majority of her time right now is like being a depyo at SM. And like making sure that these new groups are actually good.
Or being like the PR face for executives who are in trouble.
Yeah.
Haha, yeah.
Whoa.
Okay, are you guys Tibok or not? Oh, wait, is that an all not on Boa?
On this song. We love Boa.
Yeah.
Boa. On this song.
Emptiness is a not.
Yeah.
Nah.
Okay, help us come up with the all not phrase or expression for the show. Join us in the Slack. All right. Link in the episode description. Are you guys Tibok or not on TXT's Deja Vu?
To the bot.
Yeah, of course. Look at them.
I just saw it in the Slack today. Thanks to Syed for posting it. We're having a really fun discussion on there about how it kind of... Well, Syed described it as a 3.5 gen sound, and I have to totally agree. This sounds like BTS... Fake Love, I Need You. Something about it musically, how it's like angsty and combines like a rock and hip hop vibe. Mm-hmm. Something about the layering of the vocals. It just really takes me back to that time and is very well executed.
Clouds and running.
Yep.
Like GOT7 Fly.
Uh-huh.
They're running through a field.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know. I'm kind of not on the song, but I like the cinematography and I like TXT. Sorry, it's not super
I like
wide.
The beat.
Oh, you like the
trap beat. Yeah, I think it's cool. But it's like, it's not I can't play this at the club, but
yeah.
I play it early before I get on stage, you know.
Well, for the warm-up set, sure.
Yeah.
Or kids will still ask for it, like, right while you're in the middle of everyone dancing to, like, Ive after,
yeah.
Like...
They'd just be like, oh, can I hear Fake Love right now or whatever.
And then they get really angry at you for not playing it.
Just be like, oh, yeah, I got that. Just like, you got to wait to the end, though. And then you play it at the very end.
Yeah. Or I'll say that, and they're like, you know, yeah, but it's my birthday, and I'm like leaving in like 5 minutes. So you have to play it right now.
Just say what's your name. And then when they get ready to leave, I'll just be like, hey, everybody shout out so-and-so. It's their birthday. Make some noise. And then you play Birthday by Somi. Mm-hmm. And then that's it. That's the end.
But that's not the song they requested.
It doesn't matter. Because you got the entire crowd to go, yeah. And then they're like, oh, yeah, it is my birthday. Yay. And then it's all Jedi mind tricks, Peter. You gotta learn this stuff.
Oh, well, thank you, DJ John, the pro. Okay. Yeah, no, I'll do that. But, like, you know, how do you talk them off of, like, playing Deja Vu at midnight?
Well, isn't there a part at the end where, like, you play, like, whatever, 10 minutes of just stuff for them to walk out to or something? What do you usually do?
Well, I'll do it at the end, the closer, right? Like 11 yeah. or 1:30 or...
Yeah. There you go. Then just play it at the end and just play. You can't go anywhere.
They're being butthurt because I'm not playing it, No.
You have to tell them, just be like, it's not going to work, but I'll play it at the end for you if you want me to. And if they say, well, I'm leaving right now, then just be like, I'm sorry, man.
Yeah.
But then, I wish I could help you. That kind of thing.
And then they get angry at me.
Whatever.
Talk crap about me. Nah,
but, you know, then you're doing something right.
Okay. I think the song is Daybok, actually. Thank you.
Bring us back, Michaela.
Yeah. No,
it's not about that. It's about, like, if it's going to work for getting people moving. Uh-huh. You know, there's plenty of Daybok songs that you just can't play in the club because people look at you.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. That's all. Yeah. I'm not saying anything about the
music.
Since
it's the newer song on the list, I haven't had a chance to, like, really get into it like the other ones, but it's a great comeback from TXT.
I've already played it, like, 5 times.
All right.
The music video or the Spotify?
The music video.
There you go.
What?
I'm just playing.
Rude. I played it on Spotify too.
Okay. All right. Michaela, take us to this next Day of Arcanine item.
Yeah, so moving on to our first news item of the week. So we've got more idols getting married, specifically Super Junior's Mangnae Ryowook is marrying former Tahiti member Ari. He, you know, as usual, wrote a handwritten letter announcing his apologies to fans for not letting them know beforehand that he, you know, wanted to get married and have a life to his long-term girlfriend.
I'm sorry for being human.
Yeah. Mm. Sincerest apologies.
Yeah, but, you know, just another one of the second-gen Mangnaes getting married. Taemin, we're looking at you.
Gosh, I haven't heard of Tahiti in so long. I'm looking up what their songs were. They had a song called Tonight, a song called Black Pearl. I think I remember that.
How long ago?
Ooh, they debuted in 2012.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
And they disbanded in 2018. They're a fun group.
Well, I'm Daybok on Beautiful People Getting Married. And
sure. I can't wait to see the photos if they let them out. Like, they're going to be gorgeous. Two, if they catch any videos of them, like, because I have a feeling that there's going to be amazing artists singing at their wedding, too.
Oh, right.
Oh, of course.
Yeah, that's what I always love is, like, if anytime they get, like, any of the good, specifically Crush. Anytime Crush sings at anybody's wedding, yeah. I'm so happy to watch that.
I got a question. So if you Daybok or not a marriage, have you ever not...
Have we ever nodded?
No? Yeah, have you said no?
I have a few marriages I would not. Oh. Like that one guy from Sheskis who disbanded that group. Oh, God.
What?
he married a member of oh, God. What's the group? The jumping and the helmets.
Crayon Pop?
Crayon Pop. He married a Crayon Pop member and they disbanded.
Because of that?
Not that marriage.
Was it their fault, though? Was it his fault?
I mean, it's always the spouse.
Oh.
I mean, that's just like what my dad would say when an athlete, some sports star, like, takes a dive in their abilities.
But are they still, what do they love each other? Like, it's still good.
But what about the fans?
Yeah. What about Crayon Pop?
I know, but it's just like, what?
DJ John, Crayon Pop.
I like Crayon Pop, but like, what if she was in love and she was just like, I'm in love, sorry.
I know they have a kid. That doesn't matter.
But us. Yeah. Entertain our capitalistic system.
That's right.
I guess you answered my question. Thank you.
All tongue in cheek.
That's funny.
At what point does the capitalistic model more than the person's livelihood?
Oh, from the beginning, the get-go.
That's the K-pop model. That is the K-pop way.
I mean, it's like when a company goes public and then it's up to the stockholders.
That's right. It's its own entity. It can vote. It's a person.
Right.
Well, speaking of other people we wanted to break up, Taemin has left SM Entertainment. Does this mean he's now going to debut in the fifth gen as a solo under his new company?
No, it's about their debut year that determines their generation. Or their what was happening when they debuted.
Yeah, but that'd be so fun to like just to say that, because he's technically debuted in multiple generations now as like his shiny debut and then his solo debut and then his super end debut.
Wait, Teresa wrote that whole thing, which was great.
I was thinking of that.
On the Slack.
To kind of summarize.
Below.
Hang on, I'm trying to find Teresa's comment.
In K-pop cast chat?
Yeah. She said that it's going to start in 2025 because BTS coming back from the military.
Okay, let's caveat
set
this.
Stage. Set the stage.
Okay, backing up, last episode I put forward the question, are we in Gen 5? Just because I like getting in trouble.
And Peter would not rest until we all answered.
Yeah, and I like the stir of the pot.
Especially you.
So so Teresa was reflecting on that, and she was saying that if we're in Gen 5 pop, Joe mentioned that, she said, I predict fifth gen K-pop will start in earnest in 2025 with the debut of any groups following the return of BTS from the military. I don't say this to imply K-pop revolves around BTS, but I think it will mark a clear cultural bookend of sorts in the industry. I looked at K-pop groups that constitute third and fourth gen, and each era is roughly 7 to 8 years or so. And considering the individual members' ages with each generation, you usually end up with about an age span of 4 to 5 years of age difference among idols who are peers. I.e., they're competing on music shows, TikTok, and generally trying to establish and grow a fan base. I think fourth gen started in earnest in early 2018 with the debut of Stray Kids, and it felt, underscore on the word felt, kind of short because of the pandemic. I reckon, however, that we're at the tail end of it, and we have one more year to go before we max out age span among idols who form a single generation. By 2025, we'll also hit the 7-year mark since the start of fourth gen. When BTS comes back in, they'll be the veterans. The fourth-gen groups who've successfully established themselves will also be old enough to look at any new group and realize that they would have been trainees at the same time. So now
they would have never been trainees at the same time.
Thank you, Stephanie. So now they, too, are Sunbae Nims to the newly debuted groups. Just my 2 cents. So great sense, Teresa.
Perfect.
Yeah, I can get behind that.
Yes, thanks for breaking it down.
I could also corroborate that because in radio, throwbacks are anything 7 years and before, because that's somebody from being ninth grade, like entering high school, to the part where they're probably like a junior in college. So if you're a junior in college or a senior, you're going to go, oh man, remember that when I was entering high school?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and when you're a junior or senior in college, that's when you're 21 and going to the club.
Exactly.
Is that also part of it?
It's part of it, yeah. Mm. It's just a different generation. And you look back at people in high school and you're like, oh yeah, you're just a kid.
Yeah.
I know.
Okay, so what were we talking about?
But anyway, Taemin has left SM.
Oh yeah, you were joking that Taemin's going to debut in fifth gen.
Yeah, as his new solo under Big Planet Maid, the same group, same label as V-Viz and his bestie Ha Sang-woon.
I'm not, because Super M.
Who?
What about it?
Because we're jumping and hopping, because we're jopping.
Not no more.
Because you love jopping.
Taemin is jopping right out.
I ironically love jopping.
Jopping is ridiculous. It makes me smile, so I like it too.
I'm debunk on this because if it feels like this is just him leaving as a solo artist. We don't necessarily have any
Yeah, he's not leaving SHINee on, like, or anything.
Him leaving SHINee. Yeah, because, you know, Ki and Minho are still in SM. Onyu also left as a solo. So it kind of feels like this is similar to with the Blackpink situation, where all four members left YG as for their solo promotions, but Blackpink is, as a group, is still under YG.
Okay, so we can still have Super M. And by the way, I got it wrong. Jumping and popping. Excuse me. Popping. Excuse me.
Yes. So we could still jop in 2025.
Hey. Nice.
With Taemin and now Lucas.
Lucas.
Oh, sweet.
I guess I just worry like Taemin's going to become irrelevant. Like, oh, you know, not no, by his own
making. SM behind him.
Well, what? That's, a,
nah, I don't, that's not going to happen.
I don't think a small label can do it.
That's a fair point. Like, who is this label anyway?
And it's really no comment on Taemin. It's all about the label, is my opinion here.
As long as the production's there, he'll be fine.
Well, that's what SM can offer.
We'll see.
And the marketing spent, in the connections.
Maybe he just wants a new, you know, something to do.
We need you guys are underestimating what Taemin can
do with
a budget.
We need teasers released, a small budget. Like, months in advance. We need, like, visual films. We need making of. We need, like, total consistency.
Mm-hmm. And I need to move.
With a new label, I'm expecting it to be different. Like, I'm not expecting what we had at SM, because, one, I'm assuming he didn't sign a contract where he didn't have more control over what he was doing.
Yeah.
I mean, he was more on the artsy-fartsy side of the spectrum of K-pop idols, so...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay, so are we Taebok or not?
Yeah.
You can be not, Peter. It's okay. I'm just going to think you're wrong.
I don't know. I don't know how to feel about this one. I guess because I'm kind of not feeling confident in his future with this move, I'm going to be not.
Yeah. It's not an all-kill.
Yeah.
I'm again, my debunk also comes from maybe we can actually get him to tour.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Why didn't SM
get that label connect?
Put him out there for touring. I don't know.
Get in touch with Big Planet.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Next item. K-pop returns to TikTok.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Or HYBE K-pop returns to TikTok specifically.
Which is all we need.
Because they've expanded their partnership with Universal Music Group. Universal Music Group right now is having a bit of a, what do you call it with TikTok? Like, they're basically
a quarrel.
With TikTok and how they're able to make money on that platform. And so we've had a lot of fun times where, because there's no K-pop songs on TikTok anymore, we've had fans creating interesting covers of the songs to use instead.
Struggle covers now.
Because of this new partnership with UMG, HYBE can now distribute its songs on TikTok.
Yeah, nice. Taebok, bring it back.
I guess if they're both happy.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, I am so not on, like, a song will be titled something, but you're listening to, like, some kid, like, screeching into the phone. It's like, this is not what I was expecting. So yeah, I'm Taebok on playing my songs and everyone getting their check.
Mm-hmm.
Do they get a check? But how big of a check do they get?
Oof.
Who knows?
Is it like Spotify? They get it 1/1,000,000th of a cent.
We'll see.
Well, it's the label, so they get more than the artist. Oh. I'm sure.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah, by the way, I was trying to play, like, on Instagram Reels recently, I was trying to use CL's Lifted to the background of my 420 K-pop high party, and I couldn't find it. And I was wondering, like, oh, is it the same issue here?
Yeah, probably.
Okay, are you Taebok or not? A Young Posse getting hella hyphy Bay Area radio play on local radio stations, 94.9 Wild, 94.9 and Movin', 99.7.
Yes.
FM radio stations.
Yes, yes,
this is
yes.
Because I was also on your side with XXL, Peter. I love that song.
That song was fresh. The meters snare? Come on. They use actual drum break from the 70s? I'm all about it. And, you know, they're doing TLC. Come on.
Wait, what are they doing TLC? What are you referring with?
They're extra large?
It's all
TLC. It's all TLC. I mean, like, they're short and they got the big clothes.
Oh, in the style, yeah.
Yeah, it's just like whatever.
Although the TLC I think a lot of people online have mixed reactions to seeing them perform with the grill.
Also, shout out to 88 Rising for doing the promo. That's why it's getting on air.
Oh, okay.
He's the same dude that did, he got Jackson and BB on the air and got him charting.
Although I don't think BB was happy about that. I think BB.
What?
Well, no, I'm getting BB mixed up with Chung Han. Never mind.
No, Chung Han didn't. No, she was. That was different. BB was psyched. She's still. Hopefully, I can get an interview.
All right. So we're all Tae-bok. I'll kill Tae-bok, except
for
Stephanie.
Hey, wait a second. Stephanie, what do you think? Because you didn't like that Young Posse record. I listened to the thing. And everybody piled on Peter. You were like, I'm not failing it. What had happened?
Dang. I mean,
I'm
this
just kidding,
specific news item. Hey, K-pop is K-pop. K-pop on the U.S. radio waves makes my day. Tae-bok for that.
Nice.
Still not going in my playlist.
Okay. So I'll kill on Young Posse getting hyphy airplay. Okay.
Yep.
You wouldn't call it hyphy, I guess, because it's not. Anyway, so hyphy? Moving on to sensational stuff. All awards, but no reward. Michaela, what is this?
Oh, yeah. So basically, sorry, I'm trying to pull it up.
Maybe I'll move on to the next item while you pull that up. Okay, are you guys Tae-bok or not on Pink Fantasy's Queer Liberation? So today on the platform formerly known as Twitter, which is becoming less relevant, our ex Pink Fantasy tweeted, the girl group Pink Fantasy tweeted, long time no see. I'm preparing a unit to produce this time. This unit deals with the queer liberation rainbow flag emoji. It'll probably be completed by summer. I will continue to express it. Everyone, I love you. So what do you guys think?
Cool.
Yeah, sure.
I want to see what it is, but yeah.
Yeah, it's good they're saying it directly.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I guess I'm Tae-bok for that. So long as it's not like a really mean April Fool's joke. So, yeah, I'm Tae-bok.
Ooh.
Wow.
Ooh. All right. I'm worried.
Mikhail.
Sorry, I'm still pulling it up.
Okay. Are you guys Tae-bok or not on the end of third gen K-hip-hop? So fans are alarmed as four popular music artists announce departure from AOMG.
It's kind of sad. I'm a not on that. Like, I liked what they were up to, and it seems, I don't know, premature. Like, they still had more impact and more music to make. But, oh well, it is what it is. There's some business stuff going wrong in the back.
Yeah. I don't know enough about it, because if it was bad things happening, then, of course, that's good. But if it was just they left because it's like, peace, I don't care, then come on.
Yeah.
So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not. It's not all around for the AOMG label, their business. It's not for the artists. You know, they have like a start and stop momentum. I feel really bad, Lehi, especially. She was like, you know, the one who said like, "Hey, make sure you vet your label really carefully before you sign with them." And then it's like repeat number two.
Ouch.
Yeah,
that's not cool.
Yeah, so I feel bad for her.
Yeah,
bad
she's the best.
Well, I just relate with her. I just been following her career more, so I empathize with her more personally.
That's too bad because she's really great.
Okay, so all not on that, I presume.
Yeah, we got to figure out a name for
like,
that.
And that's it feels like the end of an era, really. And I hope all these artists can find new homes and still produce music.
All right, last call, Michaela.
Yes. Okay, I've got it now. So The KCM, the KMCA, the Korea Music Content Association, announced an indefinite postponement of the Circle Chart Music Awards, basically citing concerns that there are too many K-pop awards ceremonies, with approximately 20 held during the year and, you know, 5 created in the past 5 years. And there's just, you know, there's too many. There's not a, like, and it's not worth it for the return as far as like the artist showing up to get awards.
Yeah, the awards don't mean anything anymore because it's just saturated.
They don't mean anything.
Yeah, I'm pro burning down the building.
Yep, Daybok, shut it down.
Me too.
Yeah, I'm also Daybok on this, like especially as somebody who hasn't really watched music award shows in the past 5 years, just because I feel like we've, again, as the number of them has increased, the production value has decreased.
Oh, yeah. They don't make them like they used to.
No. I specifically think of like 2015 as being like the best year for production music award shows. And then after that, like either, you know, more shows have come and they didn't have the budget or even like the special stages used to be, I think, more creative. And that was when you got to see the most collaboration between artists. And it's just that vibe isn't there as much anymore. It's just here are the top five groups performing the same songs again, and then we're giving them all awards because they showed up.
Mm-hmm. That's cutting sad. Corners.
K-pop was always exploitive of her fans and fandoms, but these award shows seem especially exploitive.
Yeah, we used to get something for it.
Yeah. Okay, I'm really going to try to go rapid fire on these last ones here. Okay, so are you guys Daybok or not on Navis and Plave's Noah dating together in Roblox? In the virtual world of Roblox?
Sure.
I don't care. Not.
Okay, well,
I'll say yes.
Yeah,
I'm
yes on digital romance.
I mean, if it's like if Navis was actually like a real person, like Plave as like an actual guy behind the person, like if there was real people dating, yeah, sure, of course, but it's not.
Plave, they cussed in one of their records. I was like, why? You're virtual. Don't curse. Anyway, sorry.
Are you Daybok or not on New Jeans to rebranding themselves as Vintage Jeans? Min Haejin stating, as most of our members are adults now, it is time to reflect in this identity of the group.
No.
No.
I really think they should have chosen Mom Jeans for this.
Oh, Mom Jeans. Yeah, that would be good.
Nice. So much better.
I'm Daybok on Mom Jeans. Yeah, Mom Jeans banger. Momadol. Yeah.
That was so good.
Okay, not Vintage Jeans. Mom Jeans. I'm Daybok Mom Jeans. Are we all called Mom Jeans?
Yeah, yes. Mom Jeans.
Okay. Are you Daybok or not on Wake One announcing management of Kepler thus far being an elaborate April Fool's Day prank?
Not.
What?
Lame.
Get out of here.
They go too hard on these April Fool's jokes sometimes in K-pop. Like, it hurts.
Yeah, just keep it cute.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay, if it wasn't obvious, those last three items were all make-believe. Things that are real.
Da-da-da-da.
Navis,
I totally believe that first one, though, that Navis played one.
They would. All right.
I keep telling people at work that we need to do stuff more with K-pop and AI. They haven't taken me up on it. Yeah. Okay. Wrapping things up, where can people follow you online? Where can they buy your book? DJ John.
Book. All right. DJ John official everywhere. DJJohn.com spelled J-O-N, party people. That's it.
I'm at DJ Peter Lowe.
I'm your Pete and Michaela. You can find me on Slack.
And I'm your host, Stephanie. You can find me at catchlight27 on Instagram. And again, you can find all of us in the K-pop cast Slack. Link to that space in the episode description.
You can let us know why you like Slurpee. Why am I forgetting the name of the song?
Smoothie.
Oh my gosh.
If it were Slurpee, I just...
You love Slurp Smoothie. Like, I love Kara's version of Smoothie.
I need to go back and listen to that.
It's a good one.
All right, bye, y'all.
Bye, everybody.
Thanks.